right, guys, welcome back to the Shift Points Podcast. I am Jacob Freeman.
I am Logan Chandler.
I'm Jackson,
and I'm Sunburn.
And Jackson is a redhead this week.
Get that out of the way before somebody comments. Wow, what's wrong with his skin?
He is really red this week. Yeah. That's what you spent. You spent your week in the garden center.
I was outside a bunch. I mean, I was outside a bunch Sunday. I was outside a bunch Saturday. I was outside a bunch yesterday.
Yeesh.
I need to teach you the magic of hats, and it'll save you a whole lot of problems.
I don't love hats. I mean, if I'm outside at the house or something, I'll put sunscreen.
That's pretty red. I want to kick this off this week real quick, just talking about a few things that are coming up this week, because it's kind of a big week where it's one of those things that everything lands on the same day. Coming this Saturday, it is April the 13th. The Southeast Gassers, they're going to be down at Shadyside. The Shelby Nationals are this weekend. Shadyside has done a bunch of improvements to their track from the time we were down there.
Yeah,
you guys,
I heard they built bleachers.
They built really nice bleachers that are right up on the track now. You know how they had the big, the return road that run through there? They moved the bleachers up to the track, and they're up higher, much better. Cool. Looks really nice. They're getting IHRA certified and everything, so they're having to make a bunch of change. They're making improvements to the track to get all the certifications they need, but that was for the spectators.
Sweet.
So that's going to look really cool. So that's going to be nice. So if you guys are in the area, head down to Shelby. That's if you're looking for some drag racing action. This weekend, at least me, maybe all three of us, will be in Anderson, South Carolina. The Southeast Super Trucks, their first race is this weekend also. So Eugene Norton in the 27 Limited Late Model, that's who I spot for on the weekends for this series. And whenever he wants me to. Apparently he's running a Crown Vic car, some down at Tri-County. Apparently he got one, yeah. So that was the other thing I wanted to talk about here real quick. We've gotten in trouble talking about them before, but I'm going to talk about them anyway. Tri-County also have their first official race. They had a modified race there a few weeks ago, but their first Tri-County weekly race is this weekend also. I was talking to Caden earlier. I went out and got a haircut, and he was there cutting hair, and he said they had 9 different classes racing this weekend.
That'd be a late night.
But they got to be done by 11. They've got 11 o'clock curfew.
They better not have one wreck.
I told him. Are you guys going to start at 8 a.m.?
They'll start at four, just like they always do.
But he said he was telling me they've got limited late models, mini stocks, renegades, street stocks, the Crown Vics. And there's two or three more that I'm not remembering. But it's a lot. So if you're looking for just an absolute mess of racing, I guess head down to Tri-County. As far as I know, down at the Southeast Super Trucks this weekend, we will be running the limited cars. They have the trucks. They have a couple vintage classes. I think the Legends cars are running this weekend. So we're going to have 5 or 6 classes there in Anderson this weekend, too. So. It's going to be a big weekend of racing, so as long as the weather holds, and I think it's supposed to, I haven't looked. I literally look like one day ahead, I haven't looked at the weekend at all, but as long as the weather holds, if you are in this area within 3 hours or whatever, you have plenty of places to choose from to go get your dose of racing this weekend. So,
sweet.
Like I said, if you're in Anderson, come see us. You will probably see us in our Shift Point shirts. That's usually what we wear. So if you've watched the podcast and you've seen us and you want to talk to us and introduce yourself, we would love to talk to you. So definitely do that. So those are the things I wanted to kind of get out of the way. Make sure everybody was aware of all that racing that's going on this weekend. I'm excited to go back to the circle track. I hate I'm missing the Gasser race, but on the other side of that coin, I'm really excited to go back to the circle track. Eugene's got he's got a lot of energy going into this year. They put in a lot of work in the off season to get the car ready and everything. I'm lucky. I have the easiest job in that group. I just show up at the racetrack and climb up on the spotter stand.
Yep.
It's literally, as far as the work goes, Eugene, Ken, Tony, and Cameron, those guys, they put in every ounce of work. So it'll be interesting. I'm hoping they were happy when they went down to practice the other day. So
I just carry tires and eat hot dogs.
You do eat hot dogs.
I will do if Eugene asked me to do something, I got it. But that's really bad. I'm there for moral support, baby.
You carried some tires last
Everybody
time.
Everybody needs a cheerleader. So it'll be interesting. This is, like I said, a little bit different crew. I think, from my understanding, Mitch is going to be running a parts truck. Tony is starting a parts He's going to bring a parts truck to the racetrack, so anybody needs anything, they can go to the truck and buy it if they need it in a pinch. And I think Mitch is going to be running that, as far as I understand. I don't know that officially. That was the last thing I heard. So all the old crews there, Ken's still coming and all that stuff, but maybe a couple of them in some different positions. So.
Sweet.
But it'll be fun. It's going to be a good deal, I think. 75 laps, too. It's going to be a big race. Eugene's going to be super happy. He loves those long races.
Especially
like that.
If all the fenders stay on.
Let's not even talk about it. I don't even want to bring that up. And the first race at Anderson last year, I was not at. And that's probably the most thankful I've ever been to not be at the racetrack, because it wasn't a great day. So anyway, hopefully all that goes well. Definitely tune in. They have that. You'll have to check out their Facebook. You can stream those races, but I don't know the platform. So anyway. All right, guys. Let's get into it. Our normal stuff. I'm enjoying this new format.
Me too. About
the stories and stuff. This has been a lot of fun. So who wants to kick it off?
All right, anybody?
Let me kick it off.
Go for it.
Just because I want to get this one out of the way, because I think it's going to be kind of a quick one. I read an article, and apparently there's some rumors going around. You guys know the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? I know what you're going to talk about.
So you know the Grand Tour, the classic triple pairing of Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond that left Top Gear some years ago, and then they have started their series on Amazon called the Grand Tour, and those guys are just three of my favorite automotive people in the whole world, literally. But they have their last adventure coming out soon, here in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some rumors going around that apparently Amazon or one of the production companies is planning on keeping the Grand Tour going with three more guys.
Nope.
So, nope.
Wait, no.
No, oh, like wait, they're no. going to?
Wait, hold on. Let me air this
okay,
out real quick.
Let's see this.
All right.
This is our video application to become the new
Grand Tour.
You guys didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
Yep.
But if you're going to start with three guys, it might as well be these three guys.
I am on board with that. All that I have to say is that I don't want to be the one known as Captain Slow. Please don't get – I don't want that nickname.
I want to be the one with, like, the giant truck. I'll be the one with the giant truck in every episode somehow. It's like I found it in a dumpster. It has three headlights.
Imagine the, like, 180 that they would pull if they had Jeremy and James and Richard, and then they're like, here's Jackson, Jake, and Logan.
Woo!
Three young redneck boys.
I'm on board with it.
So don't say never.
Okay.
Definitely, let's see if I can pull some strings and get in there with those guys. Maybe I can call Jeremy up.
In the comments, tag Amazon, tag anybody you can.
Tell Jeremy Clarkson, tell him that he needs us in there, even though I'm pretty sure he hates, like, every American. I think we could get along, man. Like, I grew up at a farm. You have a farm now.
I grew up at a farm.
Yeah, exactly.
Same.
We can do these things. We're so similar,
We'll be more entertaining than whoever they pick.
Yeah, I know. I tell you. But, I mean, that's the truth, though. I mean, really, like, to talk about that a little bit. Like, what is it about those three guys that just absolutely works? It's amazing that three people can do basically the same job for all of these years and, like, I would tune in to watch those guys eat a bale of hay.
I think it's just the mix of personalities, man.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
As I heard James May say at one point that he thought it worked because they all actually hate each other just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good friends, but they actually hate each other just a little.
Well, that's kind of how it works in real life anyways.
Exactly.
Man,
you can't, like, no matter who your best friend is, there's at some point you want to beat them in the head with something heavy. So, I mean, I think that you know, like you said, I don't know who you pick to replace those guys if you're really going to try to, because they've tried with Top Gear in, like, multiple different variations, whether the British or whether it's the American version.
Matt LeBlanc was on with them.
Matt LeBlanc was on there for a while.
Logan.
Dax Shepard, he was in the American one, the most recent American version. There's been at least two versions of American Top Gear. Both of them tanked terribly. There's been two or three different groups of guys that have done Top Gear in the UK since Jeremy and them left. It's just funny. Like, you would think that it's like, oh, it's the same thing. They've got the reasonably priced car. They've got guests come on. And it just never works.
It's
just
not the same draw.
Yeah.
It's really not. Because you have such a built-up audience for that show already.
Yeah, for sure.
That you can't just be like,
you can't stick just any three
people.
Here's
three new people, goodbye, and get away with that.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to like it. Yeah. And that's, and proof's there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. But I think we could give it a shot. I mean, if it's going to tank, it might as well tank with us.
Yeah. If it's going to do bad and it's not going to pull ratings, why would you waste the money
at least let
pulling in some like extremely massive people?
We would work for very cheap. Very cheap. We could be bought. I mean, could be bought. Even though we take the labels off our water bottles,
that's
we
just
could
because
be
nobody's
bought.
Approached us about drinking their water.
Yeah, nobody's approached
us. Now, the company that owns that can on the table, we're not going to say what it is, but if you see your can and you want the tape removed, hit us up.
Oh, yeah. If you see this and you think that this duct tape is just a blasphemous use of your marketing team,
let us know. The only thing I get to like really – what's got me really laughing is what Toby did the other day. You guys remember?
Yeah.
So Toby, so you guys know Toby Norton, Eugene's son. He's been on here before. Toby's a sight man and like impossible not to like the dude. He messaged us in our group chat the other day and he was like, Bush Beer commented back to my comment on their social media post. I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, I'm going to hit him up to sponsor the podcast. And he just sends him a message. Yeah. And I was like, oh man. That's not how you get sponsorship. Like, that's not how it works at all.
He said, shout out our podcast and we'll drink Bush on every episode.
some random intern who's running the social media is like, man, this guy.
Oh, God. Hey, so if that works out, though.
I don't think it worked. I don't think we're getting a Bush Beer sponsorship anytime, by the way.
Just send me a hat that fits my big, huge head.
That way he's no longer sunburned. Yeah. That'd be beautiful.
All right, let's actually dig into it now. I just wanted to talk about that because I wanted to submit an application here. So so put on a good show.
That was great.
We're going to tag everyone.
That was amazing.
So. All right, hit it up, Logan.
So we talked about last week, you specifically talked about last week, how you think it's really interesting that nowadays there's a big demand for, you know, off-road ready vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was curious, and I looked into the numbers for how things are actually selling in Q1 in 2024.
Okay.
And I was actually a little bit surprised. So the biggest like increase or biggest success so far of 2024 has been just subcompact SUVs. I don't think anybody's surprised about that, you know, crossovers,
full-size truck sales are Tiguans in the toilet.
And stuff like that.
They've jumped up a 44% sales increase over Q1 so far,
mm-hmm.
with the biggest one being the Mazda CX-30 and the Toyota Corolla Cross actually jumped up almost 30,000 more for the Mazda and almost 20,000 more for the Toyota, which I mean neither one of those are really off-road ready, but the reason why I'm bringing that up is one of the biggest losers has actually been the Bronco.
Sports? Well, they're expensive.
The regular Bronco.
They're very expensive.
I mean, they're
like
expensive,
grand.
Yeah, but like I figured that would have been one of the bigger ones to continue to like either I didn't think it would keep increasing, but I figured it would stay kind of because the demand's always been there. But they've dropped 26%.
Wow.
That's a big drop. Big number.
You know what'll boost their sales? If they send Jake one for free.
Oh, man. I had to hold my tongue today because I was riding with that and I was afraid I'd have to walk home. There was a dude in the parking lot that had a four-door Bronco on 37s and it had like the soft top, and if it had a hard top, it would have been all right.
Oh, dude.
I would have been okay with it. Really, it was pretty
They're
sweet.
So cool. They're so cool.
I like them.
Do we have the same soft top problem? Is it the flapping in the wind that gets on your nerves?
I don't know. I just don't like them.
That somebody can break into your car with a pocket knife.
No, I just don't like. I don't like the look of it. Like none of them are ever like tight and fitted. They're very floppy looking. I don't know. I just don't like them. And I don't have any reason to take the roof off of anything.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm gonna go get one tomorrow, I'm gonna get it with a hard top.
Yeah, for sure.
Personal preference.
But the it.
But actually, you know what?
So what
it's
is it?
Weird.
Go ahead.
It's weird. If I got a four-door, I'd get the hardtop. But if I got a two-door, I'd get the soft.
Because you get like the G-vibes.
Yeah, I guess.
You get like the G-vibes, you want to take the roof off.
Just flip it backwards.
Because the hardtop comes off too, right?
It does. It's just a fixed top.
Yeah, but you can fold out the soft top, put it in a bag, and put it in your trunk. You can't do that
with
the hard top.
You got to have 14 bags.
Yeah, you got to have 14 bags to keep scratching.
I mean, I understand the draw of a soft top. I just don't... it's just not me. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. It was like my mom dad had that tracker thing. It had the soft back. I hated it.
Old pinky
the tracker when they got hooked on the tracker there at one point. But what is it about the Bronco that makes? Because when I first saw it, I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
And like, I shouldn't have liked it. Again, kind of a Ford product, not my brand really. Don't really care about off-road vehicles. I like them, but I don't like love them. And like, what is it about? Is it just because it is actually different?
I think that it's because it's the first ever, first actual recent competitor for the Wrangler, and everybody's seen so much of the Wrangler, and everybody's almost so tired of the Wrangler that finally they brought something back that's a direct competitor that has been doing better than that.
That's fair, because the Bronco, when they decided to bring the Bronco back, they made a sport version, so like a small SUV.
Terrible.
I call them a fake Bronco because they're not really a Bronco. But they also have the real Broncos, and it was like an actual, an actual tribute to the mm-hmm. actual Broncos, the original Broncos.
It's got an actual frame. It has an actual motor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It has actual suspension components.
And like, because Ford, I think, understands that people don't just care about a name. Chevrolet built a Blazer, but they built
the crossover.
A Mexican-made junk box little crossover that nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. But they branded it with a Blazer, and they thought that was going to get a lot of people. I don't think so.
And then when that didn't do too well, they thought, okay, what if we take the Blazer that we made, make it smaller, and then call it a Trailblazer? Yeah, and then that didn't work either.
No, it just doesn't work. Because when you think of that Jimmy that I had, when you think of the Blazers or the GMC Jimmys, you think of trucks, like four-wheel drive trucks, like full-on, like they're supposed to be off-roaders, like they did with the Bronco. I don't know. I like the Bronco, and me and Dad were talking about this earlier this week, actually. We passed a Ford, is it Explorer? No, Explorer is like the kind of the smaller version.
Yeah.
The Expeditions? Are they Expeditions now?
Expeditions.
It's like a Suburban.
Yeah.
Right. There it's Ford Suburban. If you look at if you put an Expedition, a Grand Wagoneer, and a Suburban all together, and you looked at them from the back,
the headlights are different. The taillights are different. They're really similar.
Everything. Mm-hmm. It's like the same person took and drew.
When you're making
front
that,
end designs are different.
When you got a little bit, that's what he said. It's, I mean,
if you turn the lights off,
there's a little difference in the grill. The Grand Wagoneer has like the vertical lines on it. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Ford and the Expedition and the Suburban side by side, they're very similar.
They are.
And like, what happened to car design? So I mean, I go back to like the Galaxy.
It's the modern square bodies.
It was a 64, and you were like, oh, look at this. This thing's 17 feet long, and it's got these beautiful lines on it. And it was like someone took really good care when they were actually taking it and drawing it. And like someone's like, when they designed the car, they really designed it with like heart. And now it's like...
Design these new ones with a ruler.
A blob. They're a
line. Line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't get it. Like, what happened? Where is this... Where did it transition? Was it the 70s? Because, like, 50s, 60s cars, they have so much... I mean, they are the classics for a reason.
40s, 50s... I don't think it's the 70s either, because a good portion of the 70s cars look good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I'm thinking, like, late 70s, like when the gas crisis came out.
The 80s got a little sketchy.
The gas crisis happened in the late 70s. Car design kind of went down because they started looking at a lot more safety features and stuff like that. That's good stuff. It's not a bad thing. But I'm saying, like, they put, like, really big plastic bumpers on them and stuff like that. It was, like...
Volvo like bumpers, the full crush
and,
panels.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I think that late 70s, early 80s is, like, where it changed. And I think it's because, like normal, it's when the government gets involved. When you get out of like people just building something that they really want to build, and you turn it into there's a lot of regulation and there's a lot of hands in the pot, that's how things all look the same. Is because, well, they have to meet all the same requirements, and this template fits all those requirements, so we're all going to make the same thing.
I think that's also why all of the coolest cars cost the most amount of money possible.
Yeah, for sure. That's how you get out of that. Mm-hmm. Out of that template is you spend more money to meet these regulations, but...
And that sucks.
That sucks. That sucks a lot. It sucks for guys like us commoners.
Yeah.
Who just want a cool car. And you just can't... I mean, I don't think you can really buy a cool car off the showroom right now. I don't think so. You might disagree.
I think there's a lot of cool
cars. I would also disagree with that.
Like a cool, like oh,
that I'm buying. I'm buying European if I'm buying a cool car.
But I'm talking about right now, the three of us, right now in our current financial state.
Oh, you mean that?
I'm talking about right now. Oh, that's what I mean. No. No, I'm not saying there's not cool cars, but I'm saying for a regular person to go, like, the Galaxy. Again, I go back to this just because I have it, right? My Galaxy was like, it was a top of the line kind of model. And the thing was $3,300 in 64. That I have the actual build sheet for
it. Have you done the inflation calculator to see what
it is? It's like $30,000 in today's money.
No.
Yes. Really? Yes, wow. It is. I did the conversion on a video. But you guys discuss this real quick.
Somebody called the people that have made that calculator. Tell them about inflation.
So financially, I agree. Like, trying to keep things in the cheap side, you're going to get some of the most boring and or ugly cars you can possibly find. If you're going to talk just in like straight up cool cars, you are easily going to be upwards of 60. I don't care really what brand or what exactly you're looking for. If you want something that you can easily look at and be like, wow, that's cool.
I mean, the car I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, it baselines at 60.
Baselines at 60, the one that we...
67.
Yeah.
So right now, okay, $3,300, which is roughly what it was. It was just a little more than $3,300, is $33,034 in today's money. So
that blows my mind.
What could you buy right now for $34,000?
A Maverick.
You can.
Yeah, but like you said, there's no cool cars.
Yeah, that's my point.
What would like cool style, interesting?
You can buy.
Can you
buy
$34,000?
You can buy.
Right now?
You can buy a Mark 6 GTI with the money left over to call Cobb and strip all the Volkswagen crap off of it for emissions and make it a genuine fast car.
You can also get
I don't know. I'm not questioning you. It's more of a genuine question.
It's used. It's a used car.
But that's off the showroom floor.
Yeah, well, off the showroom, you can buy. You can get a lot of cool model cars, but they're going to be base.
Right.
That's the thing.
But for $34,000?
I'd buy base.
I'm fine with base model. Trucks have manual windows and mechanical seats, and I'm fine with that. You can get the
Civic Si for 32.
Okay.
And you had one of those.
I had one.
They're cool. Mm-hmm. They're fun to drive too. But
I'm just curious. Yeah. Put that in the comments if you guys are listening to this. What right now would you go buy if you had $34,000? If I hand you a check for $34,000 and said go buy a car off the showroom floor and you cannot spend a penny more, what would it be? I'm genuinely curious about this.
I think it's a good question, yeah.
Because I don't know. And because I don't look at new cars.
It would be good to get different perspectives on this too, because we're all in the same like, ooh, shiny kind of mindset.
Yeah, right.
Mindset,
very much so,
you know?
Yeah. And like I'm as old school as they come. I might as well be a 75-year-old man, because like I don't think I'll ever go buy a new car. Me and Dad talk about it all the time where we're going to try and go away from new cars. We're going to go back to like carbureted engines and stuff that's easy to work on.
My next one, I will struggle a lot with the mental process of buying a new car again. Not there's a problem with it. I've had great luck with that one.
Your Durango's good. Mm-hmm. That is a good car.
But if I was to buy another one spec'd the same way as I rolled that one off the lot right now, that was 33.
Yeah.
A new one is 41.
Yeah.
Gosh. And that was what, 3 years ago?
Five years ago.
Gosh, you've had the same 5 years.
Yeah, I know, it blows my mind.
I didn't know it had been that long.
In 5 more years, because I have the same mindset as Dad, you know, in 10 years, part it.
Get a new one. Yeah.
So in 5 more years, when it's time to get a new car, I'm not going to be able to afford it.
Probably 45. No. It'd be $45,000, $50,000.
Yeah.
I can't justify it. I can buy a lot of square body parts for $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like that little truck does fine. It's got a junky 305 that has a ton of blow by, but the thing fires right up every time. I don't ever have to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
I've had occasional leaks, but I mean, like, that's the nice thing of being in the state that we are, right? I mean, Dad has spent 50 years collecting the parts and the pieces or the tools to be able to work on this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm in a very different situation from most people. I understand that.
And to be fair, the solution to the junky 305 is literally right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
Under a blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That's true. Literally just out of camera shot. I'm with you. It's going to happen this year. Fingers crossed. If everything goes to plan, it's going to happen this year. So anyway, but that, I don't know. That was... I don't know. Please put it in the comments. If you guys are listening to this, I am genuinely curious on what is on the showroom floor right now that actually interests you as just an everyday consumer. Because like Logan said, we might have a little bit different mindset on things.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Jackson, what you got?
Oh, okay.
What a turn we're about to take in terms of our overall opinions on things. Because we have spent multiple episodes absolutely bashing the EV market into the ground. And
to be fair, I don't think we bashed it. And I had a guy comment on our video about when I was talking about Dodge. And he was like, Dodge's EV's cool and Ford suck. And I was like, that's not what I'm talking about.
He's accurate,
he's right. I mean, he is 100% right on that. But I was like... This is not a comment. That short was not a comment on Dodge being in the EV market.
Watch the whole podcast, not three seconds.
It was the entire 180-degree marketing change that Dodge has went under in like 6 months, it feels like. So, but anyway, what you got?
So I saw this, and the second I saw it, I sent it to Jake. I talked to Logan about it. He had already seen it himself. Mm-hmm. Is that...
Sorry, go ahead. I'm making a mess.
I can't take you anywhere.
No, I know.
The 2025 Hyundai Ioniq 5N, which N is the performance designation for Hyundai.
Okay.
Right. $67,475 starting price.
So let's go ahead and get that. Let's go ahead and get
that. I want that out in the open as I list off these specs. Because
that was, when Jackson sent this to me, that was the first thing I said. I said 67K. Ugh.
Because I feel like it's one of those, man, that almost makes sense to me. So, now we're going to get into the specs. With that thought in your mind, you're starting out, right? This neat little thing. It's 601 horsepower.
Okay.
And if you push the red button on the steering wheel...
Ejecto-cito, cuz?
Yeah.
Sorry.
641.
So, you get 40 horsepower.
You get 40 horsepower. What's the button with do? It's the N button.
It's the N button. It's the push to pass.
It literally has an N on it.
The way that they spoke about that was instead of using, and I could be totally wrong, but this is what I picked up from the reviews, is that with the regenerative braking that they use in EVs, instead of just putting that back into the immediate charge, if you feel like doing it, on the road, you press the N button, and it'll supercharge.
Push to pass.
Yeah.
It's DRS.
Yeah. No, legitimately. Yeah. It's DRS. Okay. IRL.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, that's good. That's good horsepower number. 641. That's,
yeah, it's a very small shot.
That's very healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's solid. So, you're 0 to 60, 3.3 seconds.
Okay. Yes. That's
hot.
It's fast. Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure.
That's hot. I mean... It's got the eco mode and blah, blah, blah. So it probably downgrades a little bit if you're in eco mode.
Of course.
Logan's talking about the regenerative braking.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, helps with your range a little bit if you're not dogging on it, but let's be fair.
So is this a hybrid, or is this fully electric? Okay.
Top speed, 195. I imagine if you plug it into your laptop, you could probably make it a little more dangerous than it already would be.
Is that a thing? I don't want to derail the conversation on this. Can you do like tuning like you do on an LS to an EV?
Yeah, they do it to Teslas all the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
It voids your Tesla warranty.
Okay. And if Tesla finds out you did it, they like shut your car down remotely.
Oh, that's cool.
Allegedly. Wow, so I've heard on the internet.
That's fun.
I've heard the most immediate thing they'll do is be like, all right, enjoy that one while you can. You can never buy another one.
I've heard that too.
You didn't want to buy another one. Sorry. Okay. All right. I was genuinely curious if you could do that. All right. Go ahead. What do you change? You have fuel curves and stuff like that in an actual, like, there's, I mean, electric motors are very.
You just change the limits of the motor.
Okay. So it's like, what do they call it in, like, computers when you.
Oh, you're just overclocking your CPU.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so you're overclocking. Okay, gotcha.
I read it wrong. I'm sorry, Internet, before you jump on me. It's 195 miles per charge.
Not 195 miles an hour.
I'm scrolling in still. Okay. It's a big article.
This is what research looks like.
It is. Per charge. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
I know what he's about to talk about next.
This is entertaining.
I know exactly what he's about to talk about next with me. Oh, nope, that's not where I was going with that.
Fuel economy? What do you mean? Yeah. You just said you could go 195 miles on a charge.
80 mile per gallon, MPG, miles per gallon electric city.
But whoa.
Yep.
Hold on.
Yep.
But it can't, but I don't it can't get be classified it.
I don't know. I don't know. It says MPGE so surely, right here.
If that says that, this then there car has
and driver,
to be a,
this is car and driver.
It's, I know, nope. but what I'm saying is this has to have some sort of petroleum-based engine.
Nope.
Nope.
Full battery.
MPGE.
E. Yep.
All right. E. This I'm gonna call on you guys again because I am completely don't know what this is. Miles. What the heck is MPGE? If you know,
miles put per it gallon in the comments electric. As well.
But so it's saying like 195 is like in the ideal world. Basically, you're gonna get 80 in the real world. Is that what it's saying?
I think it's supposed to be like a direct comparison for people who have done nothing but drive gas cars. So it's like, you know how your car gets like 28, this one gets 80. Technically.
Okay. Top speed, 162. Still screaming fast.
I mean, where are you going to do it? You know what I mean? Like, where are you going to do it?
You get on 26. You get on 26 part of it, you can do it.
Get on 26 maybe. At the right time, brother.
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know. Where do you want to go 162 miles an hour on an actual road? I don't want to.
Everywhere.
Route 66, maybe.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
That's a old road.
Let's say you hit a pothole and die.
What a way to go.
Going 160 miles an hour. I need to be going 166 miles an hour on Route 66.
I think one of the craziest things about that car that I still don't rightly understand how they pulled it off was you have paddle shifters in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have like and the feel of a gearbox.
It simulates a dual clutch, and like so you hear the the little turbine engines rev, you shift, they go back down and bring it. Like it's weird. I don't that concept is lost on my brain.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Just because
now what Logan thought I was going to bring up is the fact that when you press the gas, you have the option for it to sound like a popular automobile racing game that the last one was featured in Mexico. It has speakers under the car.
Do you know how much
it sounds like? If you give me a second, I will find the clip and I will play it.
Do you know how much I hate that?
Like, no, give me 1 second.
That goes against every bone in my body. On liking that. I hate it. If you're gonna have an EV, just own it. That it doesn't sound like a car. It's just how it is. You don't get to do the things that a car does. A regular car does. Oh, I don't like that. Ugh, gross. I don't like it at all.
I will find it. But yeah,
do you think this could be like the future of
like sports cars?
Sports cars.
I think so.
You're talking 600, albeit electric horsepower. So it's you're gonna tear tires off that thing.
Yeah.
It's all-wheel drive.
But if you think about like a lot of the modern hypercars and things like that, they have all the similar features, right? Other than it not having any gas component to it. A lot of these like hypercars and stuff, they have a lot of this rake regen energy. Yeah. You know, there's active aero. There's things, you know, that help it perform. So, I think it is. I don't think it's the future. I think it's now. I think that's...
I found the clip. You want to hear this thing? Yeah. You want to hear what it sounds like?
Let me hear the fake car.
Inside. That is the rev.
Now, you know what game I'm talking about. Tell me that doesn't sound like
it does.
You're in the air.
Yeah.
You guys should know, too. If you've ever played, yeah. You're off the rev limiter in the air. Yeah.
It does sound exactly like it. It's true. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's
like I said, I don't think it's the future. I think it's now. I mean, I think all the components that you mentioned, all the electric components of that, are direct from stuff like Formula One, where they've been doing this for years, right? They've had the MGUKs and stuff like that doing regenerative braking and stuff like that since 2005, 6, 7, I think was when they went to the MGUK units and stuff like that. So that's what I find interesting. If I have to find something that I like about modern cars, I love seeing cool motorsports innovations get evolved or shifted and brought into the real world, into cars. I think that's super cool. Like, the thought of regenerative braking is so interesting to me, right? If you don't know what this is, when you brake, it produces heat energy. They take that heat energy and turn it back into electrical energy and basically charge a battery pack with it. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more than that on a Formula One car. But
thermal energy harnessing, maybe.
One component of it. And that's so it, like, that's things that I can get behind, right? If you're going to try and do this, that's why I've always said, since this whole discussion of gas power cars versus electric vehicles, the hybrid units, and I'm starting to see a lot more commercials about hybrids again, that seems to be the answer, right? You reduce your gasoline consumption by having some sort of electrical component mm-hmm. with it. And like, they're making the plug-in hybrids now, so you can actually do a full battery charge, and you have that if you're on low speeds. But if you need to go a long trip,
it'll drive. It's not even low speeds. You can choose full electric on the plug-in hybrid, and you can drive.
Okay,
if you're going to Weaverville,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's a 15-minute commute.
You can do it on battery power. Right. But if you need to go to Charlotte or Charlotte's maybe a bad example, but you're going to go to California. I mean,
Charlotte's within its range.
Well, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, you can go to Charlotte. But what I'm saying is, if you're going on a long trip, you could use your battery power to get to Charlotte and then flip it over to the gas engine and finish your trip to wherever you're going, Wilmington mm-hmm. or yeah. whatever, for example. So, I mean, like, that's... Those things make sense mm-hmm. to me in new cars. If you're going to buy a new car, that's, I think, the way to go. Because I don't think we're, like, built – we don't have the infrastructure around everything to do a full electric grid. If everybody right now goes and buys an electric car, it's not going to happen, I know. But if everyone did, we would literally cripple the country. Like, we do exactly. not have I mean, the power look at, to do it. You look at
California, they do rolling blackouts regularly right. because of the people that live there.
Yeah, they're going to mandate electric cars. Oh, but by the way, after 6 p.m., don't plug in your electric car.
Don't plug in your toaster.
Don't plug in your phone.
Come on. Like, that's insane. Like, that is absolutely nuts. So,
With all those numbers out, do you think, objectively,
okay.
do you think, objectively, with all the numbers that I've said, is $70,000 outrageous?
I mean, I don't guess so. Like I said, there's definitely a lot of technology in there. I mean, if I had $70,000, would I go buy a new Bronco or that? I would go buy a new Bronco. I mean, let's be honest. But that's me. Mm. That's very much me. But I don't think there's – I don't think so. How much is a Tesla?
Which one?
It depends.
Okay, like if you're okay,
I mean,
sorry.
The Model S Plaid is what, one –
110, 115.
Okay, what if you were going to buy like a base model Tesla?
Like a Model 3?
You get the Model 3s right now. You can get them used for like 20 grand.
No. If you're going to go buy, because that's brand new.
Brand new.
67.
45.
The Model Y starts, the Model X starts at 50.
So I think the question really is, if you had the choice, and you had $70,000, if you were going to buy a car, would you go buy a regular Model 3, or would you go buy that?
I'd probably get the regular Model S.
Or what?
But yeah,
whatever.
I mean, that's
I mean?
More comparable. Yeah. It's still not totally there, but I mean, that's still a quick car.
I still think if you're going to take your money and go buy an EV, as much as we've talked about them, your best bet is to still go and get a Tesla. The rest of these companies haven't caught up with them yet. They're still getting beat on price. Hyundai, they're still getting beat on range. Yeah. They're getting beat on performance.
Hyundai's
they're
got multiple electrics. I'd say they're front running right there now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're trying to get ground in it.
No, it's fair. I mean, Tesla was kind of like the, if you will, the first to market.
Yeah.
I think they've started to try and work out the kinks. So.
I mean, even Rolls has an electric one now. That Spectre just came out with is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's sick.
The Spectre. I saw a Lucid.
Have you heard of Lucid
Air?
Oh, the Lucid Air is so cool. Nuts.
I passed one of the Lucids out here on 26 the other day.
I saw a Lucid Air in Weaverville the other day. I texted Logan.
Probably the same one.
They're so cool, dude. But those are the ultra luxury there.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah. The Air is basically a hypercar.
It's got 1,200.
This is how little I know. 1,200
horsepower.
No idea.
It's got 1,200 horse.
Oh wow.
It's wicked.
Wow. Okay.
But that's why you're paying upwards of six figures for it.
Very expensive.
Gosh, six figures.
Yeah.
I can't imagine paying six figures for any car. Send me
one for free.
All right, the topic I want to bring up, it was presented to be my good buddy of mine, Chris. Do you remember Chris from Southeast Gassers, Frank Stein's Garage?
Yep.
Chris is a cool dude.
I'm trying to figure out what the thing is.
Hold on. Don't look at the picture yet. So Chris sent me this, and he was like, apparently he either listened to the show or at least saw one of the shorts or something, and he was like, here's you something to talk about, and I'm curious about how you guys feel about it. And me and him had a long discussion about it on how I felt, so I will save that, and I want you guys to talk about it. I know you guys aren't racers. Like, you don't love NASCAR in the same way that I do, and maybe you're not as ingrained into the history of it. Jackson, your dad would be a person I would love to ask this question to. So Richard Petty's Instagram, which I assume is not run by the 80-something-year-old Richard Petty, but his Instagram posted a picture. As you know, this year, Legacy Motor Club, which was used to be Petty Enterprises chain down, they've switched to Toyota this year. So the Richard Petty Instagram put up this picture of the king of NASCAR standing next to his brand-new Toyota Tundra.
Man's got him a Tundra.
He got him a Tundra.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
The Tundras?
No, Richard Petty specifically having a being in a Toyota? With a Tundra.
Okay.
In a Toyota.
Considering they gave it to him for free, I can't hate it.
Okay, let's pretend he went and bought a Tundra. I know he didn't, but like, how do you feel about it? Like, do you care?
Not really. I mean, Walter's is nice. It's pretty quick. He rides good. Gas mileage is atrocious, of course.
Well, yeah.
But
and I mean,
they're a fine truck.
See, it doesn't break.
And I mean,
okay,
you can say
that's what I wanted to ask you.
You
guys
can say, you know, oh, it's not an American-made vehicle. Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're built here. Yeah.
Yeah, they're built here. So I mean, it's not like he's, you know, betraying Americana by driving a Tundra.
No,
but like,
my dad
it,
would
it's not
probably
that
like,
big of a deal.
No, it's just wrong brands.
So that's basically what Chris said he was getting. He had some friends. He had a guy that he was friends with that is a huge, like, lifelong Richard Petty fan. And he saw this picture.
Took the posters down, burned the jerseys.
And basically, Chris said, I wanted to take him down to, like, Petty's garage and try and, like, figure out a way, like, a meet and greet, one of Petty's meet and greets. He goes, and I'm actually worried to take him down there now. Like, he's that upset about that.
God,
like, it has brought out such emotion in him that he is no longer really a Richard Petty fan because of this. Isn't that amazing? I see both sides of this. Let me look at it from both, because I literally can, I think, objectively look at this. Richard Petty has basically raced every brand that's ever existed in his racing career. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's known for being a big Mopar guy, a big Dodge guy. But I mean, he raced basically every brand. And back then, in the early, you know, like the 50s, 60s, you raced whatever was the fastest. It didn't really matter. I mean, if you had backing from a certain manufacturer, you would definitely go with them.
Yeah.
But guess what? If that manufacturer starts sucking, you go talk to another manufacturer and you get one that's better. So looking at it from that way, I don't care. But like, on the other side of this, you go like, Richard Petty isn't even really a team owner anymore. Like, why does he need to put up posts like this? Like, are they just using him for a face?
Absolutely.
And like, I mean, of course they are. I mean, I know they are. But it's like one of those things, like, why does he care? You know what I mean? Like I said, he's 80-something years old. Like, why not just go hang out and do your thing? Like, I know you're the king, and I know you're the best. You're the most winningest driver in the history of NASCAR by great leaps. But, like, why not just go sit on your rocking chair and do what you want to do? Like, why do you want to be part of just promo shoots like this?
Hey, brother, paycheck's a paycheck. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah, take a picture in our truck. We'll give you a free truck. Are you going to take a picture with the truck?
I am going to. That's what I'm saying. Like, as far as, but I'm not 80-something years old and have, like, this giant legacy.
Okay.
And, like, I don't care.
Dude,
like,
the only person
kind of similar to that, your dad, if someone's like, hey, we'll give you a free truck if you'll do a photo shoot with it. Your dad's going to snatch those keys.
No.
You don't think so?
If I promise you right now, Ford Motor Company pulls into this parking lot and he says, I've got you a brand new Raptor R, the baseball, and all you got to do is take a picture. He'd be like, nah, I'm good, thanks.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I don't know if he'll listen to this, but if he does, I want him to tell me his answer, because I can almost guarantee you. And the only reason that he does take the keys is if he can go turn around and sell it. He would take the picture, get it for free, and sell it.
Honda could roll up outside with a Ridgeline and tell me to do that, and I would happily take that. Are you kidding me? Free. No, okay, hold on.
Really,
I was about to say free truck. I don't know if I call it
a truck.
You get what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, man. I don't.
My dad would break that guy's arm off. You know.
But your
dad
would
have
probably
the same,
sell it, too.
He'd have the same issue. He'd be like, Ford. Okay, it's free.
I don't know. I mean, I could be
wrong. Especially with how rusty dad's truck is right
now. That truck's pretty bad. But like,
hey, Chip, what's your answer to that?
Yeah, your dad's going to take it, right?
Probably.
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 Oh, yeah, for sure.
A Tundra?
I'm just asking, he loved anything. Saying someone, I mean, I'm not easily bought, but at the same time, like, I'm definitely, if somebody, and me in the same mindset, someone pulls up.
We're not easily bought, but if we can replace the guys from Top Gear for the Grand Tour, we can be easily bought.
But again, it's because we're cheap. Yeah. We'll work for basically food.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll drive one of those Hyundai electric cars if they'll give me one for free. Doesn't even have to be the fast one.
I'm just curious because, like I said, I know that you guys aren't as like ingrained in NASCAR and kind of the history of it. And like, I was curious because like you're looking at it. I think you have to look at it from the state of like NASCAR is not what it used to be. Of course, everyone knows that. But like, they're bringing in a lot of new fans. There's probably a lot more people that watch NASCAR that drive Toyotas than probably Chevrolet or Ford. Now, I don't know that. I'm curious. That would be a super interesting stat to know, wouldn't it? To know like if do like
the
a
brand loyalty of NASCAR fans.
Yeah, I would be very interested in that because it shifted. It used to be that. Like Dad.
Let's just drive past Bristol with a drone.
And this is Dad. Something that Dad says often, that's part of why I say this. He told me, he was like, I like Dale Earnhardt, but I like Dale Earnhardt because he drove Chevrolets. He said if Dale Earnhardt had drove Fords, I wouldn't like Dale Earnhardt.
That's how it worked. So
back then, there was a big brand loyalty. And like I just don't think it's there anymore.
I started to just now say, I'm not like that with brands, really. But then I got to thinking...
You are.
Some of the things that I collect that we want to talk about because we get demonetized. But I am.
Yeah, you are. You have in your in whatever,
and I judge
whatever your hobby
things,
is,
so.
Whether it's firearms or whether it's automobiles, whatever it is, you have a brand that you like. You know,
or brands plural.
Brands,
but
yeah.
You
it
have
could be
ones
a co-
that,
yeah, you can
the
have
biggest thing is you have ones that you dislike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
You have ones that you're just like, ugh.
It was like me. I think Jimmy Johnson's one of the greatest race car drivers that's ever been. When Legacy announced that they were going to drive Toyota, I was like, well, don't really care about Jimmy Johnson anymore. I just don't care about the Toyota brand. I don't like it. And it's stupid. You can call me whatever you want about it. I realize it is. I just don't care.
Have you seen the, it's a trade something, the new long bed version of the Tundra.
Oh my god.
The long bed with the
it's
full
like
cab.
10 foot long.
It's so
dude, it's
long.
Longer than
I
that.
The bed is so
oh,
huge.
The,
you couldn't
the
back
bed's
that
eight
thing
and
in
a
this
half.
Room.
Yeah, I
it's
saw
eight and a half.
I
it's
saw a
huge.
Picture of some guy posted that he bought one in the comments. It was like he had to register that in North and South Carolina.
Oh, did I send you that?
I think you
I
sent it to
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was so funny.
I said it to Spencer, and he said... He scrolled through the comments and read. He's like, the Chick-fil-A one's the best. He said it said like oh, yeah. like you'd have to click your here and then your tailgate would after you got your order.
I think my favorite one was it took Buddy 10 minutes to drive up his driveway once he got home.
Yeah, they're massive. They're really really big. All right, what else you got? You got anything else?
The last thing that I have to talk about today.
I thought Logan had two.
Is I'm gonna rip off one of your short things, okay? Today in motorsports history.
Oh, you took my motorsports
history. We can do two.
I have one I have to do today because it is one of – it's a classic NASCAR story. And please go ahead because you guys are going to think this is hilarious.
Mine's also NASCAR related.
Okay.
That's some interesting coincidence.
Oh, what is it?
Okay. So on today, April 9th in 1950.
Nope, it's not mine. Okay, go ahead.
NASCAR's first paved superspeedway, Darlington Raceway, hosts the Southern 500, the first 500-mile event in NASCAR history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea who won that? This is just a Jake test right now.
I think I should know this. Is it one of the flocks?
Mm.
No, okay, who is it?
Johnny Mance, and he was
Johnny
driving
Mance?
A Plymouth.
Plymouth.
Today
Johnny
in 19. M-A-N-T-Z.
M-A-N-T. Okay, I'll just make sure I heard the last name right.
Yeah,
1950. Okay, nice. Interesting. Darlington is an awesome race. It's the original Super Speedway. Hmm? Darlington is like, and when that track was built, it was like Daytona is now. Like, it's like the super. It is a Super Speedway, is what it was called. And do you know why it's egg-shaped?
Hmm.
Have I ever told you the story about... So, like, Darlington, if you look at it, if you look at an aerial shot of it, it has a big, wide, sweeping corner. And I'm going to get the corner swap because they changed the layout of the configuration at one point. one in, let's say, 3 and 4, it has like a wide sweeping corner. And then in 1 and 2, it's kind of narrow, so it's kind of egg-shaped. When they were building the track, there was a pond that's right over here. And they were going to fill that pond. Well, then the farmer that owned that property didn't want them to fill that pond. So they just changed the shape of the racetrack to build it beside the pond.
I mean, that makes sense. There's I can't remember what stadium it was. There was one of the football stadiums, NFL stadiums, that like the new main entrance is only the new main entrance because the guy that owned the little corner of grass behind the stadium wouldn't sell it.
Attaboy.
And I think that when he died, the kids sold it for like a ridiculous amount of money. God, and they were like, now we can build the main entrance on the right side.
That's interesting. Do you know someone who was a massive fan of Darlington? This fella right back here on the wall, Smokey Unick, loved that Darlington race or that racetrack. It was like the one that he wanted to win every year. Every time he went there, he absolutely loved that track. So interesting little fun fact on Smokey Unick. On this day in history.
Yeah.
So let's go in number 2. I think you guys are going to think this is one of the funniest stories, and it really is. And it's a cringy NASCAR story.
Okay.
Only in the fact of like how kind of sad it is.
Oh no.
And so okay,
get the year.
it's like sad in like an awkward way. all right, what was the year? Oh, it was 1994. Saturday, April 9th, 1994 was the year I was born, by the way. David Green wins the Goodies 250 at Bristol Motor Speedway. But that's not really the story behind this. David wins while basically running second. And the way he does that is Mark Martin had absolutely dominated that day, leading 195 of the 250 laps. Had absolutely dominated. So there was, back then, NASCAR would finish under caution. So if a caution came out and it was the end of the advertised distance, you check the checker flag and the caution flag at the same time. So there was a crash at the end of the race. There was 2 laps to go. So it was going to take more than the 2 laps to clean the wreck up. So they were going to run them under caution. So they're finishing them up under caution. Mark Martin, the leader at the time, takes the white flag, and when he takes the white flag, he thinks it's the checkered flag, and he pulls into pit road, and he parks it.
I would have thrown
God.
So David Green, running second, finishes the last lap, takes the checkered flag, and is the winner. Just imagine how confusing
that would be. You're like, where's he going?
And he's like, poor Mark. This is where it's crazy. Mark's winning it down, waving like he's won the race. It's over, man.
Oh, I got it.
Pulls it in, and they go, Mark, there was a 1 lap left.
Isn't it
sad and cringy? I'd have pulled it
on the truck, and you wouldn't have seen my face again. would have heard my
Mark
name
Martin's
again.
One of the greatest drivers that's ever raced in NASCAR to never win a championship.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't it bad? So that was on Saturday, April the 9th, 1994. One of the biggest NASCAR blunders in history.
That's hilarious.
All he had to do was drive under caution. It's just one more lap.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Come on, it's very much that. You go, oh, man.
You were this close.
So that's how we close it out this week.
Oh, no.
Thinking about Mark here.
That's rough.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Rough. All right, guys. You guys happy with this week?
I am.
Happy to. Of course, if you guys have anything you want to add, if there's any stories like Chris sent to us, I thought that was a pretty good discussion. If you got anything you're watching you want to add, send it to us. Put it in our DMs, on Shift Points on Instagram or Facebook, anywhere you want to. Put it in a comment on YouTube.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube,
exactly.
Anywhere.
Anywhere that you put it, I'm going to see it. I run all of it.
If you find our personal accounts on stuff and you think that we'd be interested in
it. It'd be a little cringy, but I mean, it's there. Go ahead.
I tag you guys in it.
You find our personal account.
That's fair, you do.
And the official Shift Points count here doesn't respond to you.
I do. I will. I see everything. I respond to almost everything. So definitely send it. any stories that you have interest in about, and if you have any interest in it, definitely when you send it, also give us your opinion. I'm very curious about that, so that can kind of give us a little bit of a lead in to the story for sure. So do that, and while you're there, go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. That's also very helpful. And guys, we have crossed 2,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Woo!
It really means nothing. It doesn't give us anything, but
it's a milestone. That's important. Whoever number 2,000 was, we appreciate you.
Yeah, it happened overnight, and I'm not notified when I get subscribers, so I don't know who it was. But if you saw the number tick over to 2,000, thank you. This has been a lot of fun doing this, and I think the podcast is a good part of it, especially how we have it structured now.
Oh yeah, really, this is fun, man.
So I have a lot of fun with this. I look forward to it each week.
We're gonna have a special guest this week, and some scheduling conflicts. I know you're watching. We'll get it sorted. We'll get you next week, week after, something.
We'll pull up another chair.
We have a couple of people that we want to bring in and kind of just let them talk some stories with us as well. One of them will have to join virtually, so I have to figure out how to virtually get him here. But I think he's
rolling
going to
a TV
China
on a stand
week,
like
so.
Karen from SpongeBob.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, if I have like a TV at the house, maybe I can mount it on something. Yeah. And we can have them there. I don't know. I don't know how to do it, but we'll figure it out. So. But like I said, thank you guys very much for hitting the subscribe button. If you've enjoyed this, hang out with us. Come back next week. We try and put it out on Tuesday mornings. Sometimes it's Wednesday mornings, like this one's going to be.
Yep.
But we try and put it out each week. So follow along with us. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.